Not going to be very long tonight. Just remind you that for 15 minutes, in a meeting like this, you will use up more energy than Usain Bolt did to win his 100 metres and his 200 metres titles in the Olympics. So there you are, one useless piece of so we're only going to spend 15 minutes here tonight. And we're going to read a story from the Word of God, Luke's Gospel, and chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, and chapter number 19. Nice to be back here for the preaching of the Gospel, and I think this is a unique occasion for me. Actually, I knew all the hymns that we sung at the beginning of the meeting. But we'll read from verse number 1 of chapter number 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, or the tax collectors, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran on before, and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at my house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And God will bless us the reading of his word tonight. It's a very well-known story, I'm sure, from the Word of God. I'm sure perhaps even the youngest in the meeting tonight would have heard something of Zacchaeus. And you know, it's my family, my father's most favourite stories in the Bible. I know that we all have our little favourites, but that's his favourite in the Bible. And so we want to think about Zacchaeus tonight. You know, I want to think firstly of the place that you live. Zacchaeus lived in a place called Jericho. And I'm sure that the children here in the meeting tonight have heard about Jericho. And that place where the children lived, you know, when they came out of the wilderness, they came to the first place they came to once they crossed the River Jordan, was the city of Jericho. And when they came to the city of Jericho, there's big walls and big gates and men on top of the walls and all the rest of it, just like you'd expect. And the first thing they had to do was get past Jericho. And Jericho, they brought the walls down by walking round the walls. For 6 days they walked round the walls once a day. And on the seventh day they walked round the walls 7 times. And the walls fell down. And you know, the place was cursed by God. And God said to the first man, the man who set up the city of Jericho, he would put the foundations on his eldest son, and he would put the last bar in the gates on his youngest son. And though the time moved on, the people forget these things. And they forgot all about that. And this is the time of one of the most wicked kings in the Bible, a man called Ahab. And in his days, the Tiel, the Bethelite, built Jericho. And when he put the foundation, he lost his eldest son. And when he put the last bar into the gates, his youngest son died. You see, God doesn't forget. And we might forget. You might forget those little things you did as a young child. Those bad things you did to others. God doesn't forget. And we'll see here, as we go down the verses, that the Lord Jesus knew Zacchaeus. He knew who he was. He knew his name. We'll think about that in a little minute. And that was the place that the Lord Jesus Christ came to. He came to Jericho. And you know, Jericho The Lord Jesus Christ only came to Jericho once. It's the only time he ever came to Jericho. But when he came to Jericho, Zacchaeus made the most of the opportunity of coming to meet the Savior. I wonder if you've ever been in a meeting like this before. I don't know if you've been in a meeting, I've been here a few times, but I don't know if you've been here tonight. But I wonder if you've been here before, perhaps this is your first time. Perhaps this is the first time you've ever heard the Bible read and spoken from in such a way. What is your reaction to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you going to come to hear him? Are you going to accept his words? Or are you going to reject him? You see, the other thing about Jericho was, this was the last, one of the last places that the Lord Jesus Christ visited before he went to the cross. If you look at it very carefully, Zacchaeus was once the last man that was saved, as we would call it, before the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. Opportunity was limited. The opportunity was uncertain for this man here. And here he is in Jericho, a place of the curse, but now the place of opportunity. Opportunity. You know, we think of opportunities in our world, but tonight there is an opportunity for you to come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your personal Savior. But not only do we want to think about Jericho, we want to think about Zacchaeus. He's the main character in our story tonight. Zacchaeus, and we sing about the kids, the children, do we not? Zacchaeus was a very wee man, and a very wee man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree for the Saviour he wanted to see. And we all remember that, those of us who are older, from our Sunday school days. What a thing it is to remember these things. But here's Zacchaeus, and he had a problem. Now we've all got problems, haven't we? I'm sure there's no one in the meeting tonight who doesn't have a problem. But Zacchaeus' problem is not the kind of problem I have. You see, I'm just 6 foot. And you know, there was a time actually when I proposed to the room of my own guy, one of the tallest. I stopped growing early. That's my excuse anyway. I stopped growing early. I'm only just 6 foot, but I'm sure that Zacchaeus, if you measured him, I think he'd be just a wee bit taller than 5 foot. You see, he was a very small man. And because he was a small man, he couldn't see everything that was going on. You know what it's like when you get into the crowds of people and you look around and you're at the back of the crowd and you can't see what's going on. Well, there's the case at the back of the crowd. You can't see anything that's going on because you can't even see over the shoulders of those that are in front of him. And he has a problem. He can't see. And what I want to remind you all of tonight is we all have a problem. I said we've all got problems, but we've all got a deeper problem. You see, we've all got the problem with sin. And I'm not sure if sin is a politically correct word these days, but I'm going to talk about it tonight. Sin. What is sin? Sin is all the bad things that we do. And sin is actually worse than that. Sin is everything that God hates. So everything that you do in your life that you think God hates, that's sin. And where does sin originate? Well, you see, sin originated way back at the very beginning of the Bible. Sin originated in the Garden of Eden. Sin originated when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Remember that beautiful place that God had created? Every tree that was possible to be there was there. And every plant, you know, we think Scotland's a wonderful, beautiful place, and so it is, well. I think it's the trail of insignificance for Eden. But you know, God put Adam and Eve into the Garden of Eden. And he had everything they possibly could want. But God only gave them one command. He says, there's lots of things here, Adam and Eve. You can do whatever you want. He says, but see that tree in the middle of the garden? You're not to eat from it. And you think that's amazing. All these thousands of trees. And you're not to eat, you know, the one you're not to eat of, that would be easy. Well, the Bible says that the sin that the Satan beguiled Eve, and she took of the fruit of the tree, it was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in so doing, she disobeyed God. And she gave it to Adam. And he ate of it, and he disobeyed God. And this the Bible says that as by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world and death. But you say to me tonight, I'm not a big sinner. I'm not a big sinner. I'm not an adulterer or a murderer or a thief or a violent person or anything like that. What was the first sin? As by one man's disobedience. And I'm sure everyone in the meeting tonight, from the oldest to the youngest, has disobeyed. You see, the Bible says, for all have sinned. So Zacchaeus, he had a problem. But he wanted to see Jesus. And that's a good thing to want, isn't it? To see Jesus. He knows again about Jesus. This man who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What was it Nicodemus said? We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracle that thou doest, except God be with him. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to know Jesus. But what did he do? He climbed up into the sycamore. Now you can just imagine. Can you imagine somebody older than myself climbing up into a tree in front of all these crowds? You know, I'm not so sure what kind of a tree a sycamore tree is. But we have our own ideas about what a sycamore tree is. But here's the key of this tree. Just because he wants to see Jesus. Now, it would take too long to tell the story of Mary Jones tonight. Remember Mary Jones and her Bible? Some of the older ones would know that story. She wanted a Bible so much, but she travelled so many miles to the place where she thought the Bible was. And then she travelled further until she eventually got one, because the man realised how far she had travelled. She really, really wanted the Bible. What would you do to have your sins forgiven tonight? You see how you've been? Or you would you? You would do anything to have your sins forgiven. You see, God has provided a remedy for your sins. You know, you don't have to work for it. And you don't have to pray for it. And you don't have to pay for it. And I could go on tonight. All the things you don't have to do. You have to do something more difficult than this. And I'm using that word of life. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord. You see, faith is a very, very difficult thing to do. I've been using this illustration recently. My brother goes out climbing. And you know when he goes out climbing, he takes these little bits of metal and these little bits of string, as it looks to me, and he climbs up these hills and mountains. And you know, he climbs up these faces of these cliffs, and you've seen them doing it, whether it be on television or whatever the pictures of it, these men climbing up these cliff faces, having faith in those little bits of metal and those ropes. And they believe that those bits of metal and those ropes will take their weight, and not only their weight, may I add, but the weight of others. And they believe that that is what will help them. And so here's Nicodemus, he's up the tree. But then we come to the third kind of part of the message tonight. I'm watching my clock, which I promised you 15 minutes. The Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes along. He's never been into Jericho before, we've told you that. So if he's never been in Jericho before, he's probably never met in Zacchaeus before. And yet he comes along the road. And you can just see him with the crowds of people. And then he stops. And he looks up. It's not just a case of shouting Zacchaeus, come down, he looks up. It's almost as he looks into the very eyes of Zacchaeus. And he says, Zacchaeus, come. You're sitting in the room. And I say, I don't know you. I don't perhaps have bothered you. But the Lord Jesus Christ knows your name. He knows your address. He knows your date of birth. in which your father and your mother and your brothers and your sisters have been had in. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows your IQ. He knows everything about you. And he knows something else. He knows the sins in your heart. That's a wonder, a terrible thing really to have to understand. But the Lord Jesus Christ, there's somebody out there who knows things that nobody else does. Things in my heart that not even my wife knows. The Lord Jesus Christ knows. And that means that when you come to Him and ask for your sins to be forgiven, He'll forgive them all because He knows them. There's not going to be one sin forgotten. There's not going to be one sin missed out. All the sins are going to be forgiven. You see, He says at the end of the passage that we read, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." You know, Lord Jesus Christ didn't come just to journey along some dusty roads, through some towns and villages in Palestine for 33.5 years. The Lord Jesus Christ came and He went to the cross. The cross, I should just perhaps speak about the cross tonight, but I changed my message. He went to the cross. You know about the cross, don't you? Or do you? You see, the cross isn't just something that's on the wall, or something that you put around your neck. The cross is the place where the Lord Jesus Christ died. Not for His own sins, because He had none, but for the sins of the world. Time's up. Story of Zacchaeus. Your 15 minutes, short message perhaps, and I hope you have it. The nutshell of the gospel with you tonight. Jericho, the place of the curse, or the place of the curse. Zacchaeus, the man who had a problem, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to seek and to save that which is lost. So, our God and our Father, we thank Thee tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ who has come into the world. You remember He could say, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so as we're gathered here tonight, we would pray for everyone gathered in our meeting, that the very short but yet simple message we pray might speak to someone at once, that they might come to an understanding as to where they stand in relation to God's great eternity, and they might come to know Him, come to know His life eternal. And so we ask Thy continued blessing to be upon us, and take us all to our homes in safety, we pray, as we ask these things now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.